May grace, mercy, and peace be yours from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his Spirit. Amen. C.S. Lewis once said, "I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun. I can see it, not because I can see it, but because by it I can see everything else." And I believe that is what St. Paul is talking about and pointing us to in Romans chapter 8, our text for this morning. The life in the Spirit to which he calls us enables us to see everything else for what it is, whether that be good or bad, sin or grace, or just plain daily living. I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun, not because I can see it, but because by it I can see everything else. Life in the Spirit is life with a purpose. Having been called to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are now bound to live the new life of freedom under the law of the Spirit of life. We are called by the Spirit to lead the Son's life of obedience to the Father, whom we can now address as children, saying, "Abba, Father," as St. Paul tells us in verse 15 of this chapter, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We heard it earlier. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It has been said that these first four verses of this chapter summarize the whole of St. Paul's triumphant theology of the new resurrected life of the Christian and of Christian living. Here he tells us that a new kingdom is inaugurated by the Spirit of Christ, who is the second Adam, as St. Paul tells us in chapter 5. And this kingdom now cancels out the results of the other kingdom of sin, death, and the devil. Further, St. Paul announces that God offers to mankind resources over and above those of moral obligation. He gives us Christ, and he gives us his Spirit. That's the significance of the life of Christ and the life of the church as it is motivated by the Spirit. We don't do it on our own. He has done for us what the law, weakened by the flesh, was powerless to do. He has overcome sin and death. By sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh, he has now condemned sin in the flesh. However, as we know, the law still plays a part in the life of the believer, not as a means of salvation, but as a guide to our response of faith. The law we now attempt to obey out of love for God and by the power of the Holy Spirit in fulfillment of the promise of Jeremiah 33. "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." Once you were not a people, says Peter, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's life in the Spirit. It sounds doable, doesn't it? And we believe it to be true. We want to live such a life, but we don't. You know that, and I know that. Especially during this Lenten season, we become more and more aware of our shortcomings. In fact, if we're honest with ourselves, we are the dry bones of Ezekiel's vision, even here at Concordia Seminary. And those dry bones aren't just old professors. So what are we to do? Well, we look forward to the celebration of Palm Sunday. We look forward to Easter, and we look forward to Pentecost. And we continue to pray for help, even as we have the assurance that by our baptism and in the Holy Supper, we have been saved, forgiven, and redeemed. If you would, please take the old Lutheran hymnal, Old Blue as some of us knew it, from the pew racks and turn to page 118, just so you can follow along. On page 118, the prayer after receiving the sacrament begins at the bottom of the right-hand column. It's an old favorite of mine. It didn't make either of the new hymnals. But about two or three lines down from the top of the next column is the sentence I want you to see. I humbly beseech thee, fill me with the power of thy Holy Spirit, that through this sacrament which I have received with the mouth of my body, I by faith may evermore retain the treasures of thy grace imparted to me in the sacrament, even the forgiveness of sins, oneness with Christ, and eternal life. I beseech thee, fill me with the power of thy Holy Spirit. God answers that prayer every time we commune. He answers that prayer every time we turn to him for help. He fills us up by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the assurance of our faith. That's Martha standing outside of Lazarus' tomb and saying, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And even when we don't think or feel that our prayers are being heard, the apostle reminds us the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. Life in the Spirit is life with a purpose. Life in the Spirit is life with a future. Life in the Spirit is the life of the risen Christ. The grave is not its goal, but life now and in eternity. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the sure pledge that our mortal bodies will be raised from death, as Jesus' body was. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my ear to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never singing, ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. I believe in Christ like I believe in the Son, not because I can see him, but because by him I can see everything else. Amen.